In the studio, we have a man who would probably recommend that you become a vegetarian if you're waking up and having some bacon or something this morning. He thinks that maybe that's not the best idea, and he's going to tell you why. He's the author of a couple of books. You may have seen that film with Elijah Wood called Everything is Illuminated. A new film of one of his books is coming out soon with Sandra Bullock and Tom Hanks. And it's a pleasure to have him here at Triple J this morning.
Fresh from the Festival of Dangerous Ideas.
Jonathan Safran-Foer, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hey, man, thanks for being here. Have you enjoyed your time in Australia so far?
Enormously. Very, very much so.
You shrugged before that.
No.
That's very insulting to everyone in this country. So.
No, hardly. There hasn't been much time. That was my shrug.
Have you been here before?
I never have. You know, I've always wanted to come, and I've wanted to come so much, in fact, that it's actually prohibited a trip for some reason.
Why is that?
Because I've thought, you know, this is going to be a really special thing. I should go for 3 weeks. Well, I can't go 3 weeks now. It's only a 1 week vacation. Or, you know, it's going to be so great. I should bring my wife and kids, but they can't come now. So for this festival, you know, I stared down the possibility of a long stay here, and I thought, yet again, I will defer that for some other time. So this is going to be a short trip.
I thought you just like rocked up at customs and you were just too enthusiastic and they turned you away. Like that's even better. You're actually getting in.
No, I played it cool at customs. You have to.
That's good.
Especially when your bag is filled with whatever my bag is filled with.
Oh, well, good thing you're leaving now, I think.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, let's talk about this book that you're out here talking about, I guess, your latest book, the one that has caused a fair bit of controversy or a lot of people talking about it. It was about 2009 that the Eating Animals came out. Is that about right?
Oh, God, was it that long ago?
God.
Oh, no.
Depressing.
Last decade.
Still talking about it. Jeez. Yeah. Basically, the book looks at you tackling the meat industry, questioning why we eat meat and what's behind it. For people who aren't familiar with the story, can you tell us what led you to write this book?
Oh, there are a lot of ways to answer that. I mean, one thing that led me to write it was a discomfort I'd had since I was a kid. I think a lot of kids have some discomfort with meat when they learn about it, which is not to say they think it's wrong, just that it's a little odd, or it's at odds with so many of the other stories that we're told, like how to treat the family dog or cat, like what it means to be kind and responsible in the world.
You saw the cute animals in picture books and stuff.
Cute animals in picture books, stuffed animals that you're given when you're upset. So that was a sort of concern of mine since I was a kid that I never really got over. I found ways to ignore it, as most people do, but I never really got over it. And then when I was on the brink of becoming a father for the first time, I thought both about what we would feed our child in the most, you know, straightforward sense, but also what kind of stories we would tell him and what kind of values we would try to embody, knowing that we wouldn't be perfect, knowing that there are all kinds of reasons to act against some of your values some of the time. But one does want to, you know, direct daily habits toward choices that you feel comfortable with and that, you know, feel in line in keeping with how you think of yourself.
And that led you to sort of question the meat industry as you know it and as we know it, I guess. And so you went on kind of an investigative journey, really, did some pretty extreme things. You snuck into a factory farm in the dark of night, exactly. How did you find yourself there? Well, like, you surely had a moment doing that, thinking, what am I doing right now?
That's how I would describe the entire moment. Well, first of all, it may not be the case that everybody knows what a factory farm is. So it's not that easy to define because it's not really any one set of practices so much as a philosophy, which is that nature is an obstacle to be overcome. You know, so since the beginning of human history, farmers have looked to nature as a model and have tried to replicate natural systems. About 50 years ago, maybe 75 years ago, a new kind of farming developed in the United States, and it has since taken over the world, Australia very much as well. And it, you know, treats, it regards sick animals as more valuable than healthy animals. It regards confinement as a better way to raise an animal than out on pasture. It feeds animals antibiotics and other antimicrobials. And most devastatingly, it trashes the environment rather than, you know, makes any attempt to sustain it. So this kind of farming has taken over the world. And one of the things that's scariest about it is how secretive it is. And there's probably no industry that's more secretive other than the military. And
because you asked, a lot of farms said, can I come and look at your farms?
Yeah.
Can I actually come and check these out? You wrote letters first before we started busting down doors and stuff.
I should say there's another kind of farmer, which is the small and family farmer, the kind of farmer who sells meat at a green market. That's not who I'm talking about. Because they will let you go see their farms because they are typically proud of what they do. In America, more than 99% of the animals that we eat come from factory farms. It's what's sold in supermarkets and restaurants. And in America, and this may be the case in Australia as well, I know if it's not identically the case. It's virtually the case. If you open your fridge, take out a packet of meat and just call that company, you know, don't seek out the worst one. Just seek the one that you actually buy from. And you say what should be a totally reasonable question, you know, can you tell me how it works? And could I see how it works? I promise you that you will get nowhere.
Author Jonathan Safran Foer is our guest this morning in the country for the Festival of Dangerous Ideas, which happened over the weekend.
The dangerous idea we are looking at currently, meat eating.
Ooh, very dangerous. And this book, Eating Animals, that you released a couple of years ago, basically looked at the meat industry. You're about to become a father. You're wondering about exactly what are you going to be feeding him if you were feeding him meat, or what goes into the meat industry. And, you know, it's a controversial thing. You really find that when you raise this issue with people, talking about meat eating, what we should put into our mouths and that kind of thing, people get kind of riled up a lot, don't they?
Only if you talk about it a certain way. I mean, meat itself is a controversial thing. So if we were to ask 100 of your listeners, assuming you have 100 listeners, you know, do, oh,
can we check
the
that
jury's
out?
Out.
Can we check that out, please?
All right. Do you think it's...
We'll
can
back
you bring
to
the 100
you.
Listeners in for us, please? Can you bring them inside?
Do you think it's right or wrong to eat meat? You'd probably find that about 95% of them would say it's perfectly right to eat meat. Fine. There are ways to make that question very provocative, like saying, is meat murder? There are ways to get people feeling very aggressive and defensive. Fine. To me, it's not a very important question. I'm not even sure I have an answer, a personal answer to that question. The real question is it right or wrong to do it in the way that we're doing it?
Right.
You know, there are all kinds of things that are hypothetically perfectly fine, but practically terrible. And our meat industry is practically terrible. And when you engage people with the realities of it, when they learn what the environmental effects are, you know, that it is the worst thing we do as individuals to the environment.
Well, that is an amazing fact in the book, isn't it? That the meat industry actually has a greater impact on climate change than like transportation and stuff.
Well, not just than transportation, but than everything else put together.
Oh, yeah.
It produces more greenhouse gas emissions than everything else put together. And the
Is that a combination of the produced by the animals themselves, by the clearing of land and
transportation
and the electricity
meat,
used in order to
exactly.
produce it
It's
all.
Extremely
right.
energy intensive. And animals produce a lot of greenhouse gases.
Sure.
So, you know, when people engage with these realities, you know, some people will say, oh my God, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. I'm never going to eat meat again. Other people will say, that's regrettable, and go get a burger. You will not find anybody who says, I like it. You know, nobody will say, I want to eat more of that. I want to support those companies. So that's not controversial. And I think that's the question that we should be, you know, really addressing, the conversation we should be having.
Well, you mentioned you thought about a lot of these things when you were having a child. And a lot of people I've heard when mentioning children is they will eat meat in their formative years in order to give them the particular vitamins and nutrients. Did that come into your mind at all when you were thinking about raising your child?
Certainly. There are a lot of things I care about. There's nothing I care about more than the health of my children. And I would do a lot of otherwise unethical things if it, you know, ensured my child's health. I would steal food from some other kid to give it to my kid if I had to. So the first research trips that I made were not to farms. They were to nutritionists, to just the most prominent nutritionists in America. None of them vegetarian, by the way. And I mean, it's their responses were so consistent, it would seem strange to even refer to them as opinions. The American Dietetic Association, which is a non-governmental body that offers sort of gold standard for nutritional advice for the country.
And what do they say?
They say that a vegetarian diet is at least as healthy as an omnivorous one for every stage of life, from newborn to infancy to adolescence to puberty to old age. I don't get into that as a reason to become vegetarian. I think one can do with one's body what one wants to do. You know, I don't tell people not to smoke. I don't tell people not to drink. There can be a place for all of these things in our lives, obviously. My only point is we should take off the table the argument that you need meat to be healthy, because it's clearly not true, generally speaking. You know, sometimes somebody will come up to me and say, oh, I was a vegetarian and I had all these problems with my X, Y, and Z. And how can you say? And I say, I'm sure you're right. I don't want to argue with you. You know, I am...
You're directly contradicting Sam Neill. I don't know if you've seen any of Sam Neill's ads in favor of red meat and the tagline, red meat, we were supposed to eat it.
First of all, I don't know who Sam Neill is.
Oh, he's in Jurassic Park. He's
oh, that guy?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Was this part of Jurassic Park that he said this?
This is totally
This
separate.
Is because he's getting a check from some meat lobby, presumably,
well,
right?
I wouldn't accuse him of such a thing. I think he's just passionate about meat, Jonathan.
All right. Passionate about meat, mate. Wouldn't you like that etched on your tombstone?
Ladies.
Yeah. I mean, he's wrong. And he's especially wrong given the realities of, like, a Western diet. Is it the case that we are naturally built to eat some meat? Yes, it is. Like, clearly, people can digest it. It can be perfectly healthy.
I don't know. I've seen some meat that I don't think it's not getting through.
Shaved off a few of those kebab rolls.
Those rotisseries. Forget about it.
That, but also the quantity of meat that we eat, which is historically unprecedented. I mean, we eat crazy amounts of meat right now. In America, we eat 180 times as much meat per person as we did a century ago.
Yeah.
So how are we going to fix it, though? Are we going to have to change the meat industry, or in order to do that, do we have to stop eating meat and then build it back up again in a sustainable kind of way?
Well, we don't have to...
And remember, whatever advice you give me, I need to remember at 3:30 a.m. stumbling home from the club, okay? So just keep that in mind.
Well, that might be another problem to solve.
All right.
Stumbling home alone, right?
Jonathan!
I think that we need to eat meat in different ways. One solution, which is extremely effective, is to become a vegetarian. Another solution is to eat the same amount of meat, but only buy meat from small and family farmers. Another solution is to eat a lot less meat. There is no one silver bullet. I was saying to someone earlier today, there's no chance that half the world is going to become vegetarian in the next 5 years. I think there's some chance that half of the meals eaten in the world could become vegetarian in the pretty near future. When I have a conversation with somebody who cares about these things but wants to eat meat, I always sort of walk them through what it would be like to be a vegetarian half the time. So it would mean not eating meat for breakfast, right? You guys both eat meat, I assume, right?
This is a yes or no question.
I don't eat meat. Well, I don't eat meat. I am having read your book often. It's about not increasing demand for meat for yourself. So I won't pay for meat. I won't order meat. If you know what I mean.
You take it out of garbage cans, but you eat it off
scavengers.
If I was at a party and there was meat being provided as finger food, I would eat meat. Yeah,
got it. So
is that okay?
I respect that enormously.
I think that's a very good idea from Tom.
You're not going to heaven, but you're okay. Okay.
I think it's a very good idea from Tom, but should he be calling himself a vegetarian? That's my issue.
Well, here's my issue is, why are we so obsessed with what we call? Why was that a hard question to answer? Like, why are we obsessed with terminology? Who cares if you're a vegetarian or somebody who eats meat only at parties? Unfortunately, we've structured this conversation so that people would say you're a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what you were afraid of, and that's why you were embarrassed to answer the question the way you did. I don't think you're a hypocrite. I think you're somebody who, like, makes great choices almost all the time. You know? With regards only to meat, I mean.
Put that on your tombstone.
Yes, I will.
So there's a great food writer in America named Mark Bittman who is a vegan until 5. Yeah. And then after 5, he eats everything. And I just think, you know, strategies like that are the solution to this problem. As I was saying before, the world is not going to go vegetarian. But I think that the world could move in a direction that gets rid of, or at least greatly diminishes, the influence and power of factory farming.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Jonathan Safranfrois, thanks so much for popping by Triple J this morning.
We
really appreciate it.
We can talk to you for the rest of the show, but you got to go. We understand you got to go back and get that stuff that you brought into the country out.
That's right. I did get rid of it. Yeah.
Thanks very much, man. This book is called Eating Animals, and the movie, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, with...
which we didn't even get to.
We didn't even get to. It's about nine. That's a whole other show. That's coming out soon with Tom Hanks and Sandra Bullock. But thanks very much, man. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you too.
Cheers. Oh, we're going to go with some Joanna Newsom, which you asked for. This is a tune that you like. What's the name of it again? Sorry?
On a Good Day.
On a Good Day.
On a Good Day.
Aww.
Well, I hope you're having a good one this morning on Triple J. Here's Joanna Newsom.